This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Saturday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, sickos. This is Shagun.
All right, Shagun, good to have you in there. Here we go. Sponsors today, the Belleville Meat Market, the CCA Star Tournament, Waymore Silencers, McLean Trailers, Texan Roofing, Mainstream Marketing, and Boyd's One Stop. So we appreciate each and every one. Looks like another good, calm morning ahead of us, and things couldn't look better. It could be a little cooler, but hey, it's summertime. It's what we do here. All right, right now in Galveston, it's 84 degrees down on the island. Feels like 94. On the coast will probably be your coolest place to be today. Upper 90s here in the Houston area. Partly cloudy with a stray shower or thunderstorm is possible. They're throwing in about a 10 to 20% chance today. So high of 89, southwest winds will be 10 to 15. Right now they're down. And a few clouds tonight, stray shower, thunderstorm is possible, southwest 10 to 15. And for tomorrow, intervals of clouds and sunshine, a stray shower thunderstorm is possible, high around 90 again, southwest 10 to 20. It's going to pick up a little bit, they claim. So we'll see. All right, tides for today. These are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We're on a three-tide schedule, and it looks like we're actually four today. We went from three yesterday to four today. We had a high occur at 12:40 a.m. We're sitting on a standing high right now. It's going out as we speak. A low at 3:59 a.m. and 0.9. These tides are real weak, and good fishing reflected that yesterday. High of 9:56 a.m. this morning, then a low tonight at 6:03 p.m. and 0.1. That'll be the strongest current as late this evening with a outgoing tide. 6:39 a.m. is sunrise, 8:12 p.m. sunset. Our moon phase is 57%. And looking at current conditions, the buoy offshore, 22 nautical miles east of Galveston. It's 85 degrees out there with 87-degree water. Southwest winds are at 11, gusting to 13. In the bay at Eagle Point, it's 81 degrees with 89-degree water. West-northwest at 2. And at Morgan's Point, it's 83 degrees with 88-degree water, southwest wind at 5. So winds are down. Looks like another early morning beachfront bite again, and things couldn't look better. Make hay while the sun shines. All right, well, let's get started up. Let's run over to Sabine Lake now, and let's talk to our good friend Captain Bill Walken and see what's up with him. Bill, good morning. What's going on?
Good morning, buddy. How you doing?
I couldn't be better. What's up with you?
Oh, just fixed to get up here in about 2 hours and head home.
Head home.
Fun's over. Yeah, every once in a while you have to just go home, go back to work.
Right.
Sometimes I think I could just keep on traveling, but pretty soon the money had run out and I'd have to, you know, go to work somewhere, so I think I'll just keep doing what I'm doing.
Run out of money, got to go home, go to work.
That's right. But it's, yeah, we've got, our grandson has to go back to school in about, I think another week and a half. They well, start back to school pretty quick.
Yeah, hopefully they can start back. Boy, they sure are talking lockdowns, and just it's just crazy what's going on right now.
Absolute foolishness.
I'm telling you, it just, it's never going to end.
We have, those masks caused my grandson to have asthma, wearing those masks all the time. And that's what we got out of that.
I know. I can't stand having those things on my face.
Well, there's nobody in Washington has any credibility at all. I'm sad about that. They've said so many things this way and that way. We don't know what to believe anymore. So.
Well, I hope they don't shut down like before, and then look at all the fishing that was shut down because of that. Especially down south, a lot of those counties, you know, the guides I talked to down that way, they closed all the boat ramps. I mean, you weren't even allowed to put a boat in.
So, well,
I
had a really good friend that had a thriving striper business out at Lake Mead, Nevada.
Yeah, right.
And the whole state shut down. He couldn't even launch his boat.
Right.
And they closed the launching ramps, and he lost his business, and he is now living in Panama.
Unbelievable.
He said that, he's fishing in Panama now.
Well,
got him
a
fire down there. Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah, it is.
It sure hurt all. But we'll see what happens next. Hopefully it'll slow down and not be as bad. But you know, I lived through it.
We all did.
Just like the flu. Anyway, it's we're gonna keep fishing until we get told to quit. At least we'll do that.
Well, we fished right through the last one. I wouldn't think there'd be any safer place to be than out in the sweet air and you know, away from people, you know, out of the multiple crowds, all the crowded areas. I mean, it's what we do, you can't beat.
Well, here in Colorado I've seen maybe two or three masks in the last 1,000 people I looked at. There might have been one or two masks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's,
well, that's everybody's choice, you know. Let them make their own choice. People know how to take care of themselves.
Well, that's right. I mean, I wore that thing and I still caught the COVID anyway, so.
True. That's right. You did have it, didn't you?
I did, and I wore that mask and I hand sanitized. I kept it in the boat on the console. Tried to not go around anybody except somebody in a boat. It was just, you know, it was useless. Caught it anyway. Yeah. Took it home, gave it to my wife. And we lived through it, thank the Lord. And, you know, what are you going to do?
It's not your choice, you know.
That's right.
When they pull your number, it's pulled. There's nothing you can do about it.
Amen, brother.
Time to go to the big trout pond in the sky, baby.
That's right. That's right. You know, the only thing is when I get there, my shoulder won't wear out from casting so much.
Boy, I heard that.
Everything will stay together. But
well,
I have
lucky
been
all the cast I've made in my life, my shoulders and wrists and elbows and everything are still good. It's amazing. You know, from all the ball I played and everything I did with throwing baseballs and hitting tennis balls.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
God must have put you together right.
Well, the upper part, he probably did. The lower part is it's skeptical. Knee surgeries and rough boat rides. You know, just all the once you get older, you can deal with the pain. It's not it. All it is a little bit of pain.
The fact is, buddy, you know, your stuff just wears out.
It does.
And And if you live long enough, something don't get you. Otherwise, you just time out.
Right.
You know, just have to keep on pressing until you can't push no more. That's how you do it.
Just roll people till you can't go no more.
How do you get in the boat and do what you do? I said, well, nobody ever told me I couldn't do it.
That's right.
And I intend to stay there, keep doing. You know, when my number gets pulled out of the rack, like you said, I'll go on. But right now, I've still got some bright blue skies and some trout to catch.
Yes,
and
sir.
I'm going to keep on doing that. And, you know, on the good side of all of this, I've been in contact with a couple of my guide buddies, and fish are still biting.
Yeah, they bit good yesterday everywhere, it sounds like. Our tides weakened up, and, you know, where our fish are located right now, and, you know, our water temp in the mornings, it's like 89 at Eagle Point right now. And
that's hot.
Where these fish are starting to locate, you know, along your channels and deep shell, you know, in that 9 to 10 foot range. It when that current runs real, real hard, it's hard to catch those fish. But now that our tides have gotten weaker, man, it's made a big difference.
Yeah.
Big difference.
It does for sure. And they will feed on a weak tide.
Yeah, they will.
It makes a lot of areas, a lot of places where the channels compress into smaller areas, that water rushes through there so hard, you know, that you have to wait for it to slow down for the fish to feed. But so
exactly.
If it's going kind of slow, it lets the sediment drop out, and those fish will actually feed longer and better.
Yeah, and we had that full moon, you know, those strong tides on the full moon and right behind it, it was just, it was running so hard in that channel area when it was running that it just rolled the bottom up. So much silt coming off that shell, and it just made it putrid. Now, once it slowed and got ready for the next exchange, it cleaned up. And that gave you a little bite window, made it better.
Yeah, all of that has to be factored in when you're fishing, you know, where there's a lot of tide, a lot of current. Mm-hmm. You have to factor all of that in and plan on when you're going to fish certain areas. One of my guide friends made a profound statement one day. He said, you know, Bill, we make this look easy, but it's not.
No.
I said, well, you just said a mouthful right there. But once you learn the ins and outs of the current flow and how it all plays in, all of that, you can lock all that stuff in and use it, and then day in, day out, this still works. And once you've got that in your memory banks, you've got that experience level, you just turn the old computer on there in the morning and figure out where you need to go. And you don't miss much, you know.
Right.
Those fish will be there. You know, some people don't like fish the summer patterns. I do. I find it's hot out there, and, you know, you need to get it done by about 11 o'clock if you could possibly stand it. But the fish will bite, and you can depend
will.
On somewhere every day they're bite.
Well, you know, summer and winter patterns are not that much different. If you think about it, a lot of things you do in summer and winter, that you can kind of use what you learned in the winter as an advantage of what you're going to end up doing this summer or following summers. Just depends on the freshwater flow and what, you know, where the fish stage up at. Let me get this break in, Bill. I'll come right back at you, buddy. Hang with me. I'll be right back. Well, you know, folks, the Belleville Meat Market, if you've never been there, you owe it to yourself to stop by. It's a great place to shop and an excellent place to drop off your wild game for all your processing needs. The Belleville Meat Market is located right in downtown Belleville. They're a short drive from Sealy on I-10 or Hempstead on 290. So go in downtown, look for the big white sign, pull in. It's been owned and operated by the Poffenberger family for 40 years now. And you talk about excellent packaging, excellent quality, and their service is second to none. If you're getting ready for hunting season this year, we're not that far off, and they have a 3-lane drop-off system their processing facilities right next door to their meat market, and they'll actually unload your game, take it in. They track it all the way through the process. It's all computerized with your name on it, and when you go to pick it up, they'll load it in your vehicle, and you just drive on off. There's nothing like it. First-class service. Check them out on the web at bellevillemeatmarket.com. You can actually go online and make orders. They'll ship it right to your door. Or call them at 979-865-5782. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 417 here in the Bayou City. Let's go talk some more with Bill Watkins. Okay, Bill, we're back. Thanks for the hold.
All right, buddy. Well, I'm kind of anxious to get back, get a hook in the water.
Well, everybody deserves a little vacation. It's good to get away from things for a while. And
yeah, that's true. And, you know, I thought I was going to come up here and run in some really nice, cool weather, but it didn't work out that way.
No.
yesterday afternoon, it cooled off really nice. We had some clouds come up and a little sprinkle rain, and all that stuff hung up on top of the mountain up there. Mm-hmm. And it got really nice. It was down to about 70 degrees. Right in the middle of the afternoon, but it had day before yesterday, it got up to right at 100 in this valley. And I mean, it, you know, 7,000-8,000 feet is, man, that's hot.
Pretty warm. 100's a hot, whether you have humidity or not.
Yeah. 100 is hot, and you get the shade. You know, if you had a little bit of breeze, you had a shade. But, you know, it's just really nice up here. And I wandered into a gun shop yesterday afternoon just to see what they had up here. Shoot, that guy had over 10,000 rounds of 9mm ammunition. I couldn't believe it.
Really?
He had a drum full of a barrel that had 10,000 rounds of 9mm in it, and a whole bunch of bags and boxes of 9mm. It was like, goodness gracious, where did you get all that? You know, I just couldn't believe it.
At the getting place.
Yeah, that was a cool place, a lot of Colorado. If you need some 9mm, call these people. They got it. I had to take a picture of that 10,000 rounds in that drum. I just thought, now that is amazing.
That's a pile of it.
Yeah, I haven't seen that much 9mm ammo in one place in a long time.
I don't think I've ever seen that many rounds in one pile like that. That's a lot.
I just snatched my camera out. I said, "You mind if I take a picture of that?" He said, "No, show it to all your buddies in Texas." I said, "Okay." Oh, he had 223 and all kind of a lot of stuff. More than I've seen on the shelves down in Texas for a long time.
Well, you know us Texans, man, we have no shortage of ammo and guns. We got plenty of them.
Yeah.
You get shortages sometimes. You just, if you go practice, that's what I like about 9mm, and I always have kind of the same pistols and all the calibers. That way they all feel pretty much normal and natural to me. And yeah. I'll go practice with the cheapest ammo, which is usually the 9mm, you know, the most available and the cheapest to shoot.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll
save your high-dollar 10-millimeter rounds and stuff like that for when you really need them.
That's true. That's true.
In your 40s and 45s.
I was surprised at what he had. But I actually wandered by the Bass Pro Shop, Katy, on the way up here.
Right.
And they had 7-millimeter 08. An American whitetail, and I was just wanted it, and I was amazed at that. They had about 10 boxes of that, so I picked me up a couple. But now you 270 and 6.5, stuff like that's kind of hard to find.
Popular ammo.
Yeah. And 708 is the 708 is a popular caliper, but not so much as the 270s and the 30-06s. That wasn't anything in those bins. I mean, that was empty. I'll buy it when I find it.
Well, like my 257 Weatherby ammo, I always order that online or either get it at a gun show. Old Daryl, that guy we buy from at the gun show, he's always got 257 Weatherby. But, I'll stock up and get 3 or 4 boxes of it. I mean, but I might shoot 1 or 2 rounds a year on an animal, and the other couple of rounds I'd just check my gun when I get there, make sure I'm on good paper, dialed in good, so I don't miss, and because you never know. But I've had real good luck with nowadays these scope mounts and rings and the scopes and things we have, they can take a lot of abuse without getting knocked out, knocked off target. They really can. It's not like the old days.
No, it's not quite as bad. You can, I've got 2 or 3 rifles that I can depend on to be on from year to year, sitting in the closet. You can bump them around pretty good. But I found out that the best way to ensure that your rifle is going to be on is to spend as much on the scope as you did on the rifle. Get a good one.
Well, that's the three ingredients of a great rifle: is scope, barrel, trigger.
Yeah, I've had trouble in past years by trying to buy cheap scopes, and sometimes the recoil of the rifle will actually upset some of those cheap scopes.
Yeah, especially with Magnum rifles. You got to have good mounts and real good reticles, real high dollar scopes.
I learned that the hard way, putting that stuff on the lead sled. The rifle and the rest absorb all the energy.
Takes all of it, yes.
That's where I found out that my cheap scopes were failing. It was on that lead sled. All that energy goes right into the butt of that lead sled.
Takes the brunt of it, yeah.
Hey, it will knock a cheap scope off.
Dislocate the reticle.
A 270 or even a 708 or a 243, if it's a cheap scope, it can rattle it. Just if you're lucky and you got one that's never been a problem, great. The optics look good on some of the cheaper models. But once I started going to the the Zeiss and the Leupolds and stuff like that, and Burris, I quit having problems with that.
So we had a guy down at Blaine's a couple of years ago. He had a 270 mag, and it wasn't a Weatherby. It was like a Savage or something like that with a synthetic stock, and it was light. Oh, my goodness gracious. I've shot everything. That gun right there would knock your shoulder completely out of socket.
It killed him both ends.
It took us forever to dial it in, and thank God he had a good scope on it.
I said,
man, turn that dial some more. Move that reticle over. Man, you're killing me with this thing. I shot it about 4 times. I didn't want any more of that.
No.
I can't remember what rifle it was. I think it was a Savage, if I'm not mistaken. But, buddy, it kicked like a mule.
Yeah, some of them do in the stock shape.
I got 300 mags and 7 mags and stuff like that. They're like BB guns after shooting that. Goodness gracious.
Oh, yeah. You know it when you get a hold of a bad one.
Oh, yeah. You do.
It slaps you in the cheek just like Muhammad Ali.
I said, the reason you're missing with this thing because you're flinching before you pull the trigger off. You're getting ready for the aftershock.
That's right. Man. Yeah, that's just like shooting those rifles, the big rifles with compensators on the end of them. And, oh, my goodness, the muzzle blasts will kill you. If the stock hitting you in the face don't do it, the muzzle blast will.
Oh, yeah. Don't be downrange to the side of that or anything. If you got a hat on, it'll blow it off.
That's literally happened. I've seen it. blow the hat right off the bench.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, shoot. Oh, man.
Well, it's shot location's biggest part of it. Whatever caliber you like and what you're comfortable with, it all That's kills. Right. Every bit of
put it.
If you put the bullet in the right spot, the animal's going down. Just like shooting a bow. If you don't put it in the old pump station, better call a tracker.
Yeah, that's right. I got pretty good at that in my life before I learned how to shoot better. Here we are talking about guns and ammo and hunting. And
well, it's right around the corner.
It's right up. Around the corner. I mean, that's something we can talk about anytime.
I mean, we're a month away from dove season.
I know.
That's going to be the problem for everybody is finding shotgun shells.
Yeah.
From what I'm hearing, it's tough getting the good high brass dove loads that you want.
Yeah, and I hadn't even lined me up to hunt yet. I'm going to have to get to work on that.
Well, now's the time to do it instead of waiting till the last minute.
No. I'm going to try to line me up a couple of good doe hunts too.
Yeah,
I love to shoot does. I swear, I have got away from antlers.
Well, they don't taste very good anyway. They end up on the wall if it's a good one.
No, I mean I've got my big axis at the taxidermist. They're still working on him. Probably won't be till October before I get it back.
I can't believe how fast that guy got my big 6-point back this year. That was a quick turnaround. Great.
Yeah, sometimes they can do it. But they've got a big load of stuff. But I just love to eat deer meat. So good, I mean.
I know. I'm the same way. I made some cabbage soup last night with deer sausage in it. Boy, that's good stuff.
Oh, that sounds good.
You know, simmer it down, cook it down real good where the broth's just right with the sausage you like in it. That's good stuff, man.
Oh, shoot. You're making me hungry.
But it's getting time because the deer burger is getting low. That's all we cook with anymore is just deer burger.
That's what it's we used good. To.
Except for one thing, I like to go to HEB and get those. Have you ever tried them yet, the Wagyu burgers? They'll come in a blister package at the meat counter with two of them in a package. They're like half-pound patties.
And yeah,
they're really for Wagyu. It's cheap, $6.50 for two patties. You want to talk about make a good hamburger?
Oh, I know.
Goodness, man, oh man! And do them on the grill. The only way to do it: do them on the grill.
You know, I mix my deer meat with brisket, half and half.
I do 30-70. I hadn't tried half and half yet. I've always had Belleville 30% brisket in mine, and it
the biggest old fat brisket I can find and cut that sucker up and grind it all together and mix it up. And there's something about the two together that's better than either one by itself. It just makes a special taste in hamburger.
It does have a good flavor, I got to admit.
And we use that for everything. You know, we grill hamburgers. We make any kind of a meat sauce you can think of.
Oh,
In the oven, broil them in the oven. And that stuff just comes, if you vacuum bag it, it comes out, you know, a year later, it's still just as good as it was.
Yeah, the packaging, if you put it in good packaging and vacuum seal it, it stays fresh in the freezer really good.
Yeah, we've gone through, I killed four does last year, well, actually three does and that big axis buck, and we've gone through probably almost three deer.
I'll be darned.
You know, we eat a lot of it.
Well, that's what we get it for.
I made a stew the other day in a crock pot, and that was the best tasting stuff you ever put in your mouth. Oh, I mean, talk about some tender, fine meat.
Yeah, I like them backstrap roll-ups, too. Party poppers.
Man,
you're making
right.
me hungry, man. It's 4:30 in the morning, and I'm already getting hungry. All right. Well, Bill, I got to run it. Have a safe trip back from the Rocky Mountains, and I'll warn the fish you're coming, and I'll get them back good for you. So you can have to put in a little work when you get back. But somebody wants to come over to Sabine and fish with you, man. How'd they get a hold of you?
And we've got fish to catch, too.
Yeah, you do.
409-673-9211. Now hook us up. We'll go fishing, buddy.
All right, Bill. Hey, have a safe trip back. Have a good weekend. See you, man.
Okay, take care.
All right, that's Captain Bill Watkins. And I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the 32nd annual CCA Texas Star Tournament. It's currently going on. It started Memorial Day weekend. It'll run through Labor Day. If you're not signed up and you're going to do a little fishing, you might want to get signed up. What a bunch of great prizes they've got out there and plenty of opportunities to catch them. And it's all brought to you by your Texas Ford dealers, Tilson Homes and Academy Sports and Outdoors. What they've done, they've stocked three times the amount of tagged redfish in Texas waters than they normally do, which triples your chances of catching one of these great fish and claiming a good prize. Go to startournament.org. That'll give you all your info for rules, entry, and prize information. And more good news, the Red Snapper Division, it's back this year with the heaviest red snapper. That'll win you a Polaris Ranger Crew 570 EFI with a big Tex trailer to pull it on. Go to startournament.org. Call 713-626-4222. And great sponsors involved in the Star like Mercury Marine, Shiner Bach, Paw Power Polaris, Mouty Boats, Texas Fish and Game Magazine, ABC 13, Cryptic, and Coastline Trailers, just to name a few. StarTournament.org. Sign up today.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It is 4:35 here in the Bayou City on a Saturday morning. Weather looks good, folks. Going to be hot. Hit them early. Hit them hard. Get back by noon. And take it easy. All right, let's go up to Lake Conroe. Let's check in with a fish dude and see what's up with Richard this morning. Richard? Checking your pulse, bud. How's it going, man?
You know it's all good. I'm already running around looking for these rascals this morning. Goofy suckers yesterday, they made me hunt for them. So I'm trying to figure out
where they're at. You still had a big old pile laying there. What is it with you guys and all these piles of dead fish, man? Y'all are just yourself.
There's people hungry out there. I guarantee you, there's some hungry folks out there. There ain't no doubt about that. Man, that's... These sunguns are just too good. And like I say, I don't know why in the heck they're moving around like they are, but I'm going to figure them out again. I don't know if that one spot – I went back up there yesterday. I tried to avoid them after hitting them, you know, one after another for a while.
Yeah.
So I went on that one spot that where I found them up there on the north end where they spawned another day, that was like, okay, well, they're here, but I'm going to back off of them because, you know, dang, 75 of them in 2 hours, that's pretty dang good.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
And then, so I said, well, I'll back off of them. I tried another one of my other spots out here on the open water. And we caught probably 25 or 30 off of there. And it's like, dang, what's going on with them? And I said, well, let's run up there and check them other ones. We run up there and check them. I only got two or three. And I said, dang, that ain't right. So we come over. I'm actually sitting in the spot where we caught some yesterday. I'm going to sit here and kind of anchor down and see what's under me. And, just, you know, and we got a little bit of wind this morning, so that makes a whole lot of difference. You know, that's the thing. That's like yesterday, good night. That wind just would not blow at all. And I kept trying to move around for wind more than anything.
But,
but then we finally got right here where I'm sitting right now, and here they are. They showed up. So it's all good. You know, that's the thing. Like I say, I'm not even there yet. I'm trying to get there. But it's I had to shut down because I was making too much racket running across the lake.
You already got your people in the boat with you?
No, sir. No, sir. Oh. I've been out here for an hour just looking around. Like I say, I don't like hunting when I got people in the boat if I got an idea where they might be. So
yeah.
I've got about four spots. I got about six spots that I'm bouncing around between. But
where you just go out there and mark them with your screen, make sure they're there.
Right.
Okay.
Well, see, I've got a couple of areas that I'm consistently fishing in, so I know that they're like. Right here where I'm at right now, I've got two creek channels that meet. Okay, I've got one creek that comes out from the west and another one comes out from the west, and I'm on the main lake, and there's a point in between. Now, these two creeks are only, a half mile apart. Now,
right.
When I'm saying creeks, they run back up in the woods, okay? There ain't no doubt about that, but
yeah, they're like big drains, yeah.
Yes, I'm offshore. I'm offshore where these two creeks meet. You know, I'm a good half mile offshore where they meet, and I'm going to be sitting in about 16 foot of water right here. But on top of this little point that comes where these two creeks meet, it's only about 12 foot deep. So, you know, them rascals.
Well, that's still that's a good ledge, a 4 foot ledge. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
That's structure, baby.
Right, exactly, and that's, you know, that's the thing. And right now with the temperature of the water right this morning, it's actually kind of cool with this wind. It's 89, so it's you know, with that water temperature, they're losing the oxygen, so they're coming up, and most of the fish I'm finding are going to be between 12 and 15 feet. That's just because that's where the oxygen's at, you know.
Right.
And that's what I'm finding lately. And let me get this thing side image now. There we go. Now I got to see what's going on down there. See, that's the thing. Boy, I live on this dang depth finder. I mean, that's so many people. You know, years ago, I used to not trust them. That thing's lying to me. It's showing they're down there, and I can't catch a dang thing. Now, I absolutely, without fail, if I don't see them on there, I'm not going to fish there. Because it's just, you can see the fish. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, and even some of the older units, like, I mean, all the HDS units that I've had have all been phenomenal as far as being able to pick up fish. And with this side image and stuff, and especially with this dang live unit, good night. I'm sitting here, I can sit there with this live unit, and people that have been in the boat with me since I've had it have noticed. I'll say, dang, those fish are about 20 feet over there. Let's move over that way just a little bit. And we'll move over there, and boom, we start catching them.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see them out there. I mean, it's just, and it's,
these poor fish ain't got a chance anymore.
They really don't, but you know, it's the best part about it to me is just the ability to see how many fish you actually don't catch.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
well,
oh my gosh.
You know, that's just common. I mean, especially if you're a lure fisherman, I mean, you're lucky to catch one for every 10. Usually a more realistic ratio, if you're catching one, there's 20.
Exactly. That's exactly right. There may be even up to 40 or more.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's amazing. You got to get them competitive so they're fire up. So you fire that whole school up. And that's what a lot, like in bass fishing, a lot of people don't understand that part of it. I mean, now they're starting to. Don't get me wrong, a lot of people are, but there's still some people that don't understand that on these bigger lakes, you know, not a pond or something like that, because a pond or a small lake's totally different than a bigger lake. These bigger lakes, when you get on them, they're, you know, they're a greater body of water. They're a bigger aquarium, right? So everything grows bigger. And so when you get on these little spots, you can have one little area that's, say, a brush pile that's 10 foot by 10 foot, and you can throw a worm in there and you'll catch one or two. And then you can go through there with that depth finder, not the one I've got right here, but the, you know, once I get my transducer on, then I'll actually be able to count how many fish is in the pile. But I can see them sitting out there, and you'll see them sitting to the side of it or on top of it, or, you know, and years through the years, all we've ever done is pull it up and say, okay, there's a brush pile right there. Let's cast it from every angle we can possibly cast it at. Use multiple baits on it. If we don't catch anything, we're going to leave. Okay? Now I can pull up that brush pile and say, dang, they're not in it. They're just to the right of it. So I can throw just to the right of the brush pile and catch them. You know, that's the difference. And, you know, everybody always thinks, dredge the bottom with a crankbait. You have to hit structure with a worm, you know, stuff like that. You have to hit something. And, you know, crankbait, sure, square bills, rocks, bounce them off the rocks, absolutely. Jabberjaws, beat them up against the rocks all day long. And, you know, stuff like that. But that's what they're designed for, is they deflect and bounce off of things. Brush pile crankbait fishing, if you can get a little bitty square bill to dive as deep as you can possibly get it to dive, I don't care. Yeah, say it'll dive naturally 3 to 5 feet. If I can get that thing to dive 6 feet and hit one single limb that is on a brush pile sitting in 12 foot of water, just one limb that's sticking up, normally I'll catch a giant fish doing that. Yeah. I don't know why they do it, but they want that little bitty bait kind of moving up through the middle of the water column. And as soon as it hits one limb, just one, I mean, I'll try to find these brush piles where I know I can hit that one limb with that little bitty bait, and they will nail it. And I mean, I'm talking 10 pounders do it all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, you get a big crankbait. The past couple of Tuesdays, good night, I've been horrible. I found a little old brush pile with some stumps on it and stuff like that this last Tuesday where I was crankbait fishing and caught a bunch of them. But every dang one of them were 15 to 15 and a half inches long. Yeah. Every one of them, cookie cutter fish. And it's like, good night, what the heck? And then the week before, I was hooking up with some big ones. You know, I had some sixes and sevens. I'd watch them jump out there and throw my lure at me. It's like, good night, what are you doing? And it's just, you know, using bigger crankbaits. So that's what I was doing. I was using deeper diving crankbaits instead of those smaller and mid-range. That was week before last. And I, like I say, I'm getting hooked up. Just can't get them to stay on. You know, so last year I just kind of changed, last week, I just kind of changed up and did a little bit of different stuff. Started working the north end a little bit. And these brush piles up here, some of them are loaded. You just got to run through 20 of them to find one.
Yeah.
You know, that's got them. I mean, that's on the bass now, you know. So, but like I say, a lot of it's due to this oxygen level in the water right now. And this little bit of the wind this morning should help a shallow bite on some bass. So, you know, that's my guess. But it's still going to get hot as a firecracker today. There ain't no doubt about that. Good night. I just hope that this breeze keeps up like this. It's actually about 2 to 3 miles an hour right now. Just enough to put a ripple on the water. I mean, it's bad when you're begging for that.
Yeah.
Oh, my. It's hot.
Yeah, it's down on the coast this morning, but it's, you know, you're going to be in the upper 90s up there today, and it'll be like 90 on the coast in Galveston, which is hot for Galveston.
And, oh, my. I'll tell you what. This up here, Mickey, though, this humidity in these woods is killing me.
Oh, it does.
You know how it gets going over there to Rayburn a lot. You know,
Sam Rayburn, though, midday fishing's right out the window for me. That 1 to 4 o'clock, no.
Oh my,
go in, rest up, and then go back out a couple hours before dark and fish till dark. You know,
that's it. Because I don't know what it is about these trees.
Them piney woods are nasty, buddy. It gets hot. Yeah, in the piney woods.
It sure does.
All right, Richard, I got a roll, man. You need to find your people some fish. Somebody wants to call you, give them some info.
Well, make anyone get in touch with me, 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
Yeah, if you get through there, slide over to Boo Boo Kitty Point and see if they're on that.
You know they are. You know they are.
All right, buddy. Hey, Richard, take care. Have a good day, man. All right.
Yes, sir, you too.
All right, that's Richard Tosh up on Lake Conroe getting ready for his trip. And next up, let's go to Charlie P., Captain Charlie Paradosky, Matagorda. Charlie, what's up? Oh, he's not on yet. Okay, well, Okay, I'm spoiled. I'm used to going from Richard straight to him. Anyway, now weather looks good this morning. Winds are still down. They're calling for it to come up a little bit, I think mostly afternoon. You know, south, kind of southwest, about 10 to 15 they're calling for today, and then tomorrow 10 to 20. But right now, all the stations are showing definitely a westerly factor in light. So hopefully everybody will get another good day in the surf again. Well, we've been getting them. Been pretty nice this week. Offshore guys been getting it a lot easier than they have been. Way better. But anyway, let's see. Let's check these. You got him now? All right, well, let's go to Charlie. Charlie, what's up, man?
Good morning. What's happening? How are
you? Oh, not a lot. What's up with you?
Well, get ready to brave the elements again.
And, braving the elements.
Hoping I don't have to go through a storm like I did yesterday morning.
Yeah, I saw those storms pop up down there. I said, man, I hope Charlie wasn't already where he was going.
I was already committed.
He's getting hammered right now.
I was halfway across West Valley going to bed. I just had to keep going.
Oh, boy.
It was stressed out before we ever made the first cast, man. Yeah. But I don't like doing that anymore.
No.
Been through too many of them. I mean, that lightning was bad.
I'm just not into lightning. It's
no.
I'm more a duck and cover guy when it comes to that. I've had some close calls, and I'm not pressing my luck anymore.
I tried to make it to oil field cut. We've got a building we can get out of it. And
right.
It got to raining so hard, I couldn't see my hand in front of my face, and you got to worry about SCBs running out of Porta Cutter coming this way. No. Putt-butted over the shoreline and just sat it out.
That's all you can do.
Yeah. Yep, yep. But some of the boys went back to the surf yesterday. It had to be choppy out there. I could hear it, you know. But,
could you?
Yeah. They still caught fish out there. We're starting to catch a lot of little fish in West Matagorda Bay now. I mean,
right.
A lot, you know.
Same here. A lot of little fish showing up everywhere. The ratio is unbelievable. I know guys are going through 100 and 150 fish a day just to get their limit of keepers.
Yeah.
That's a lot. It's a lot of pencils.
I know we caught our share of them yesterday. And there were a lot of people out, you know, when the storm went. They never showed up at first, but when after that stuff broke, boy, the boats came on board. They must not be catching nothing over in the Spirit of Saco Bay and San Antone Bay, because they're all coming this way.
Yeah, San Antone Bay was one of the bays listed on the TPNW creel surveys. It was way below normal, way below average, as they put it.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one thing that there's not a shortage of, Mickey. I don't think I've ever seen as many turtles in my life as I'm seeing. They're everywhere. I mean,
just think how many there'd be if there wasn't for the freeze. Look at all of them died in the freeze.
Yeah. You know, back in the old days, I just don't remember seeing them popping up like that. I guess those shrimp don't.
Well, there's no shrimpers anymore, and the ones that are still here have the turtle excluder devices on them. It made a difference. Conservation does work if people give it time. Everybody wants instant gratification. But, you know, it takes time to build a population of whatever you're trying to save. Look at the polar bears now.
It is built up now because they are everywhere.
Yeah.
That freeze didn't affect them one bit.
No. You know, it's like when we went through the freezes up here in 83 and 89, we had so many fish. Well, 89 was that was the worst one that I've seen. But 83, we had so many fish in 83. If we killed half of them, we still had millions of them, you know, when it was over.
Yeah. you know, I was watching, I don't ever watch that Shark Week stuff. Those shows make me nervous, but I didn't realize how that, you know, that those sharks ate those turtles.
That, tiger, especially shark. Tiger sharks, they love them turtles, man.
Yeah, I mean, they videoed one that took one of those giant turtles apart. First, he'd eat one leg off at a time, and then it was like, well, I'm tired of messing with this thing. He just ate the whole
yeah, just crush the shell. They got a bite like a pit bulldog, man. They can just put the thing in their mouth and just crush it.
Man, that was something.
You know, people don't realize how many oysters a black drum will eat. You know,
they got those big crushers
down in their throat, and they can crush an oyster.
I mean, yeah, I never realized that until this, you know, a couple of years ago.
Yeah. It's amazing. That,
yeah.
Nature's cool if you'll study it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I don't know. Everybody's
speaking of sharks, man, I had a listener sent me a video this morning. I don't know. I looked at it about 3 o'clock, and it shows this guy's in a kayak. It looked like an orange kayak. Got his rod sticking up, and he's fishing. He reels in a gaff top. Looks like about a pound and a half, 2 pound gaff top up next to the kayak. And this huge bull came up and smoked that gaff top. And all you see him is just hanging on in here, drag ripping. It's that big bull swam off, you know, swallowed the whole gaff top. I guess he got the topwater hooks hooked in his mouth, and he was peeling that guy's line off. I said, boy, makes you think twice about a kayak. I had a customer, a bull shark jerked him over, put him in the water.
I can imagine.
He had his stringer. He had a couple of trout hanging off of his kayak off the side. And luckily he was in about chest deep water. And this bull shark hit that stringer and just flipped him completely out of that boat and put him in the water with that shark. And he said, man, that was the end of that. He said, I'm not going to fish there anymore in that area, because he had had close calls with him before. That's why he was in a boat and not wading it. But and it happens fast. No warning, no nothing. Boom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. One of my guys had a 5 or 6 foot shark come right up to him yesterday. I was wondering why he was walking on top of the water all of a sudden. I didn't even know. I was about 10 feet away, but I haven't had a big problem with him. But
that's the worst thing you can do is move fast and make a lot of noise and splashing or anything. Just slowly back up and back away from them.
Yeah. And let them have the fish.
Don't step on a ray walking backwards. It's hard to walk backwards and slide your feet unless you can moonwalk.
Yeah. Well, that's what's going on over here, man. Just stuff.
Well, somebody wants to come over and fish with you, throw them out some info. I can get a hold of you and come on over and pop a wade with you.
Call me on my cell phone, 713-725-2401.
All right, Charlie. Well, have a good one. I'll talk to you next week. Be safe out there.
Take care, Mickey.
Radar looks good right now, so don't worry about nothing.
Good deal.
But it did look good yesterday morning, too, until the bottom fell out. They just built up and came on in, man.
Yeah.
All right, Charlie. Take care, buddy.
Take care, Mickey.
All right. All right, that's Captain Charlie Paradosky in Matagorda. It is time for a break already. Top of the hour, you're listening to The Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.